God started dealing with my heart. Before Labor Day, He started dealing with me about private worship. I know that some of you have questions. I've heard some of your questions, I hope today, in the course of what the Holy Ghost is going to speak through me, some of your questions will be answered. At the end of the day, He wants to pour His grace out. He doesn't want you to leave here without a drink of His grace. I think He's going to let me speak here for just a few minutes. How many of you have been listening to the series on private worship? Praise God. See, I operate under a teaching anointing. And when the Lord wants me to begin to explore something for teaching purposes, He plunges me into it so that everywhere I look, it's always on my mind. It's always going on in my spirit. And that's what He's done with me regarding private worship. Oh, by the way, I'm Mark Jenkins. I'm different. I'm different than LaRue. Thank God I'm different from Bronk. I'm different from Jim Martin. But thank God that there is a difference in the body. All I know how to do is to allow the Holy Ghost to put this inside of me, and I stand up and He tells me what to say. That's all I know. That's all I know. I can't tell you the Greek word for a lot of things. I thank God for Jim Martin's ability to do that, but I don't do that. I mean, I'll try to bring out some clarity in some of the words, but that's not me. My wife and I came in contact with this message individually before we were married about 20 years ago. I heard my first tape from Dave Roberson Ministries, Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. Totally changed my life. I had just gotten saved, and after having grown up in church, after having been indoctrinated with all kinds of things, I give my life to Jesus. And the first message that He really plants in front of me is Dave Roberson. Back in 1990, the first tape. Basically the same for my wife. We came together. Been married for 18 years. Along the way, there have been times when I never, ever walked away from the message. There were times that I ventured down paths that weren't God, but I never walked away from the message. I saw the value in it immediately. Immediately. We lived in Florida, and before we moved here in 2006, we attended Pastor Bronk Flint's church. Everything I ever learned, I learned from Bronk Flint. God told me, He told me in 2005, I can take you, just like Gary says, to the place in the road where He spoke to me. And He said, this job is over with. It's time for you to move to Tulsa. I can take you to the place. So we sold our house. We moved here. I had no intentions at that moment of being here myself. If you've listened to any of my teachings, you probably have heard I've had several starts and stops in ministry. Several times that I thought that I was going to be doing ministry for the rest of my life and something would happen and it seemed like I'd get sidelined. Well, I do thank God for Bronk because he helped me. And I thank God for Pastor Dave. So we moved here. We took our seats behind Gary Carpenter. And we sat there and we did the message. Just like we've done before. And it changed us. It set me back on the firm foundation. And it's what brought me here today. I can't say enough about this message. I can't. For those of you, and we have, you know, the Holy Ghost showed me, we have got all kind of levels of growth in this room. We have some people that have just come across the message on the internet just a few weeks ago, a few months ago. We have others that have been doing the message for 20 years. I tell people, the best proof that you can ever have of the validity of this message is when you do it for years and you turn around and you look back and you see how God has led you. And I can tell you from my experience, He has led me all the way. All the way. Even in the times it didn't look like I was being led, He was leading me. Last year, I won't go into a lot of detail about this. Last year, 2009, my wife was attacked with stage 3 cervical cancer. It was one of those things that all of a sudden you go to the doctor for a regular checkup and he comes back and he looks at you with a grimace look on his face and he says it's cancer. And we were in for the fight of our life. I won't go into a lot of detail, but it came to the point after 8 weeks of chemo and radiation that the doctor came in and said, it's only shrunk by 30% in order to do what's necessary to take it the rest of the way. It has to be smaller. So we went home. We prayed. We confessed as we had already been doing. We continued. We didn't quit. We would never say words that would defeat us. Never. We didn't tell certain people because we didn't want them saying stupid things. But we continued to do what we know works. We went back in 4 days later and she said, the doctor looked at us. We went in just for what we thought would be another external radiation treatment. And she said, you understand, I can't do any more on you. She said, but let me take another look. I was waiting outside. The doctor examined her. If you've ever been in that type of an environment, the doors are extremely thick. The walls are concrete block. As I sat outside, I heard my wife say, praise God. I walked back in the room. The doctor said, if this isn't a miracle, it's as close as you're ever going to get to one. At that point, the tumor had shrunk by 50% in those 4 days. They proceeded to do 2 more internal implants on her. Each time it was shrinking by 50% after each implant. About 2 months later, 3 months later, they did a PET scan on her, and they declared that she was cancer-free. I say that some of you need some hope in here. Some of you are dealing with some really nasty situations. Do the message. Do not stop. Do the message. Confess. Worship God for your miracle. Even when it doesn't look like the miracle is there, worship Him. Worship Him for it. Thank Him. Do not stop. He will do everything in His power, the enemy, to stop you. Because He knows if he can get you to questioning, if He can get you in that arena of doubt, you're beat. You're dead. That's it. This is for those that are endeavoring to go into the ministry. My first time preaching from that pulpit right there, and I've preached many times before, but here, my first time was a month after they had diagnosed her with cancer. Right in the midst of chemo and radiation, Gary calls me and says, "You feel like you got a word?" "Yeah, help." So what I want to say to you, those of you that are endeavoring to go into the ministry, even when it's tough, don't stop. When you have done this message and what's inside of you has developed to the point that He can promote that, let Him. Let Him promote the change inside of you. Let Him promote it. See, that was my trouble for years. I would stand up here, and there is an anointing on me to teach. I could teach the paint off the wall, but the problem was, if it's just Mark doing it and not God doing it, I'm wrong. And I tried to make ministry happen for me, and it was wrong. And every time, I kept ending up on dead ends. But fortunately, because of this message, I could continue to pray and He would bring me back around again and put me on track again. That's the value of this. So when He began to prepare me for today, He began to say to me, private worship, worship. Go to that place. LaRue talked about that place. You know, that place isn't just some thing in the ethereal that you can just barely get to sometime. No. I don't care who you are. How plain you feel, whether you feel like you have a fivefold anointing or whether you feel like you're just a bump on a log, you can go to that place. Amen. You can. This is for every one of us. Private worship will take you to that place. He's telling me I need to step back just a little bit. Right here on this dove, maybe some of you haven't seen it, but right here, there's a beautiful dove on the carpet. Pastor Dave was slain in the spirit. And this was about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. While he was slain in the spirit, he heard these words, "You don't know anything about private worship. Nothing about private worship." And God gave him a plan. So many hours a day, he would lock himself away and begin to worship the Lord. No music. And I've had a lot of questions about, what about music? What about singing? And this is what the answer that I gave someone today, and I believe this is a God answer. What I'm about to teach you and what Pastor Dave has taught, this is for every single person. Because not everybody thinks they can sing. Not everybody even wants to sing. And if I told you that singing was the way in, and you said, I can't do it, so it's not for me. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you can speak words, you qualify for this. Okay? So that's why we've brought it down to simplest terms. This is not to answer the question someone has in their mind right now. This is not about me teaching you about praise and worship from the platform. No. That's not what this is about. This is about how you can find that place with Him in private worship yourself. And it's going to take an investment of time for you. I don't know how much. All I can tell you is that He has required of me hours a day. I'm not going to tell you how many. But it's an investment of time. I do work. I have a feeling that that's probably changing in the near future. He keeps leading me that direction. But for the time being, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm making tents. My tents are soda pop. But you know what? And I work second shift, 4 o'clock till midnight. Do you know what a perfect shift that is? If you want to break into private worship, I get up in the morning, I walk my dog, I eat breakfast, and I worship the Lord. Some of you say, well, what about the television? Well, I worship the Lord. You know, there are times I watch TV, but when I'm breaking into this, I'm investing time to get to know Him. One of the greatest revelations of this is the fact that this is the fellowship gift. Tongues, as we have preached time and time again, is the revelation gift. If you want to have revelation knowledge flowing through you, spend extended times reading the Word, praying in tongues, you will have revelation knowledge flowing out of your mouth, flowing through you. But knowing about someone and knowing Him personally, it's two different things. And He's bringing this back to me too. Every message this week has been as though the Holy Ghost has had a palette in His hand of paint. And He's beginning to paint this picture. And every time another person stands up here to speak, another color goes on. Another detail to this goes into place. As I stand here, I'm only giving you one part of the picture that the Holy Ghost is painting. What Jim Martin said this morning was beautiful. It added so much to the week. It added so much to the picture. And nothing that I say is to detract anything from what He said. Absolutely nothing. Because He talked about love. And He talked about praying in tongues. But what I want to bring out to you is this. If private worship is not crucially important to us, why did God have Pastor Dave do what he did? Why? It's because it is so important. It's because He wants to fellowship with you. And the only way that that happens, where it's a one-on-one relationship with Him, is when you are alone with Him. And your attention is focused on Him and Him alone. And you're sitting there. I don't care how dry those words are. I don't care how it feels like I'm not breaking through. When I say, I love you, Jesus, I'm through. I broke through. That's it. There's no secret. There's no magic formula. It's, I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. It's as simple as that. But I don't feel anything in my natural body. Has anyone ever noticed that before? Turn to John chapter 4. We may get into some new material today. I've kind of gone back and forth a little bit with it, but the Holy Ghost showed me it's really based on your receptivity on how far we go today. So John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria at the well. We won't go through the entire encounter. I taught this previously, and I would encourage you, please, go online. I don't have my own website. I probably will. At this point, for me, I joined a social network. I can't tell you which one. My wife would get upset with me. But I have friends, if that helps. That's as far as it goes. But I'm sure that we'll have a website at some point. It's just when God says, do a website. You know, he hasn't said that yet. Okay. So let's begin at... Where do you want to start, Lord? Let's just start in verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, I'm going to stop right there, the hour cometh. If you'll remember, for those of you who have been around for a while, Pastor Dave broke this down on the millennial time clock, is that if the day... A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is unto a day. If you break that down, the hour is equivalent to a generation. A generation. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice this. True worshipers. True worshipers. I want these things to sink into you. You can't have a true worshiper without having a worship that's not true. He wouldn't point that out that way. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Let's stop right there. Did it say that the Father seeketh such to do miracles? No. Did it say the Father seeketh such to pray in tongues? No. He's seeking worshipers. And that's a strong word that he's using. He's longing. Think about this. He says true worship. What was it before Jesus? What was it before we became new creations? What was the worship about then? You ever thought about that? You see, God waited throughout generations, waiting, waiting, looking for someone that could worship him out of a new nature. The new nature that you received gives you the ability to worship the Father. Until we received that new nature, we did not have that ability. So all of the generations of time that went by, that worship that was poured out, how was it poured out? Well, if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, I guess we're going to need to turn there real quick. Hebrews chapter 10. I saw this word in Hebrews, and when I saw it, I thought, that's a strange place to have that word. Beginning in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers unto perfect. What are they talking about? They're talking about the sacrifices. Talking about the sacrifices. And the fact that all those sacrifices, all those heifers, all of those, the heifers, the birds, all of those animals, none of those would make the people perfect. Because if it did, they could stop. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, look at that. Has that word ever meant anything to you right there? The worshipers. Look at that. The worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. Who were they talking about? Weren't they talking about the people that had to bring an offering up to the priest to be sacrificed? Why did they do that? Why? Because they had committed sin. And he's saying they were worshipers. They brought the animal. They brought the animal in. Laid the animal out on the altar. Do you know who killed the animal? The person that committed the sin. The person that committed the sin would take a knife, slit the throat. Now think about it. You've got a heifer laid there. You've slit the throat. All of a sudden, the spray of the blood comes out all over you. You're covered in the blood. Covered in that blood. They identified that as worship. Doesn't seem like worship to me. Ever thought about that? All it did was to mend that broken relationship, that broken fellowship that the person had. That was it. The sin had stopped it. They brought in the sacrifice. And that was what would replace that and mend that. I want that to sink inside of you. Because this is important. I want you to see your place, what God has provided you with. Because we don't think about it. You know what worship is in most churches? Worship is this. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise your hands, sing about three songs, and go sit down. That's what we've been programmed to believe that worship is. And we do it for how long? About 15 minutes on Sunday and Wednesday nights. And he said in John 4 that the Father seeketh such. Do you think that he seeketh that? No. When Pastor Dave was slain in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost told him he knew nothing about worship, and he sent him into the closet to find this out, he didn't know what he was going to uncover. He had no idea what was going to happen to him. But he went in. And I thank God for it. I thank God that we have a man that was willing to spend the hours and hours and hours in the closet saying this: I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. I worship you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love you. I glorify you. I praise you, Lord. And to every word that you speak, with everything that is within you, you pour yourself into every word of adoration for him. Every word. And when you continue to do it, you see, your flesh is going to fight you. Do you know that? Your flesh. How many of you, when you first tried to break into praying in tongues, did your flesh tell you to go mow the grass? Tell you to wash the car? Well, it's the same thing here. That flesh is going to tell you, this isn't doing you any good. You could be, it's like with Pastor Dave, you could be passing out tracts. You could be witnessing to the neighborhood. You could be doing this or that or this. And all the time, God seeketh such to worship him. You've got to tell your mind to shut up. Shut up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, and I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. I just don't care. Because my Father seeketh a worshiper, and I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. I'm going to give him the very thing that he wants. I'm going to do that. Not because I feel anything, but I know in heaven he is having a party. He is. He receives this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the moment, it's like Jim said this morning, he inhabits the praise of his people. He's sitting up here in heaven on his throne, and all of a sudden, Mark stands up and begins to worship the Lord. And he hones in on me, and he comes down here with his throne, and he puts it there, and he sits down right here where I'm at. Does any one of you want that? This will change your life. Just in the time that I've done this. Yeah, I remember listening to this, coming to the conference, listening to this back in 2001, 2003, hearing him talk about this. And I remember what he said. He said, I hope, I pray that you will catch hold of this, that you will do this, that you will incorporate into your life private worship. And I went home like a good student. I went into my back bedroom, and where I'd spent hours praying in tongues, now I spent hours in private worship. And I kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and I kept doing it. And all hell came against me. And finally, it came to the point where it's like, God, everything is stacked up against me. And I changed. I had to conform to a schedule change. And as a result, slowly but surely, I got squeezed out of the private worship. Has anybody ever had a bite of that apple with me? Or is it just me? Do you know how you get back? Start doing it again. Simple as that. And do you know what I discovered? I discovered that I don't start back at point zero. I start where I was at, and I continue forward. And that's for all of you that have done it, and you found yourself in the same position that I was in, and you laid it down. God's not mad at you. He's doing everything he can right now in this time period to beckon you to come back to him in worship. Come back. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I want to spend time with you. And it's not just about you telling him, I worship you. It's about the change that happens inside of you. He wants that change to happen. What change are you talking about? Well, have you ever happened to watch Pastor Dave and watch the love that the man walks in? I mean, has anybody noticed that? Or is it? Have I only been the only one? The man, you stick him, love comes out. Where did he get this? Where did he find this? He found it in the closet with private worship. He'll tell you, that's where I found this. It's when he was in that time just before the conference. I'll never forget it. He comes out. I looked at him. I thought, that man's been somewhere I've never been before. He comes out here and he can't even talk. And they just kind of wheel him back into the back room. Does anybody remember that time? And the only thing he could say is, I've been kissed with compassion. You see, for years, in my endeavoring to minister, there's been one missing element. Now, I'm like Gary, if you're going to preach here, you better be transparent so that people can see that we're just normal people. Okay, we're just normal people that do the message. It's the message. It's the Holy Ghost. It's not me. It's not me. It's not Bronk. It's the Holy Ghost that flows through us. It's because we've spent hours with Him and changed. That change, He's flowing through. All those years, the missing element for me was love. I endeavored to answer a call. But the missing element was the love for the people. What do you want to do, Mark? Do you want to answer a call? Or are you doing this because you love my children? What is it? And I have to say, it was because I wanted to answer a call. That's not enough. That will not take you through the storm. That won't take you where you want to go. It's got to be that you have cultivated a love inside of you because you've spent the time with Him. You can't get it anywhere else. What did He tell us? What did Dave tell us all those times? Praying in tongues will not give you what private worship gives you. Fasting will not give you what private worship will give you. You can't get it from somewhere else. I can't pray and ask God to fill me with His love. What else did He say? He said about the love. I cannot love myself in you. For you. I cannot. This is God speaking. I cannot love myself in you. For you. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the call that the Holy Ghost is making right now. He's beckoning you to separate yourself, to get alone with Him, alone with Jesus, to spend time alone with Him. That's what this time period, that's what He's calling us to. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. Everyone say, all things. All things. That pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partaker of the divine nature. How many of you remember Born Again Trail, divine nature? You have a new nature. You have a new nature. We're talking about the born again experience here. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add. Now, if you look up that word add in the Greek, I can at least use a Strong's Concordance, okay? If you look up the word add, it's going to, and I can also use the Vines Expository Dictionary, New Testament words. Vines will redirect you with this word to the word ministry, which the definition of it means abundantly supply. So let's use that. And besides this, giving all virtue, all diligence, abundantly supply to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which is self-control, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity, which everyone knows is love. There is love. There is love. So let's go back to the top of the list. Abundantly supply to your faith. We know where faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So abundantly supply to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Now I already told you, with knowledge, we have the revelation gift, praying in tongues. This is where you're going to have a fountain of knowledge flowing through you. So we already know, because that limb has been added to the tree, we know the importance of praying in tongues. But what I want to know is, what about all this other stuff? What about the other things? You see, when you were born again, your spirit man did not come into existence knowing everything. It had to be taught. That's why we pray in tongues, so that we have the teacher. We all know the well-dressed gentleman that comes into the room, that goes to the chalkboard, is the Holy Ghost. He is our teacher. The moment we begin to pray in tongues, we employ the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach our new nature, because it doesn't know everything and it needs to learn. There are attributes in our new nature that need to be cultivated, needs to be developed. They don't come into existence when you're born again full grown. For example, how many of you know that not all Christians are full of love? Has anybody ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that sometimes they're a little ugly? And some of them I don't even want to be around. Well, what's wrong with that? What's going on there? If they're born again with the same new nature that I'm born again with, and those attributes are present, what's lacking? They've not developed them. Doesn't it say to add or supply abundantly? That's something that I must do. Well, where would you find an abundant source of virtue? Where would I find an abundant source of agape kind of love? Where would I find that? Wouldn't I find that in His presence? So when I go to where He is in private worship, and I tell Him how much I love Him, and I spend time there, do you know what's developing inside of you? Everything that's listed right here is being developed. I'm cultivating this crop inside of me, and it's coming forth. I can tell you from my experience up to this point. I sit in that chair. I can't tell you the number of conferences that I've been in over the years where I've sat there and I've been anxious. Has anybody ever been anxious when you get a room full of Christians like this? You get a little anxious. I wonder, will anybody notice me? Anybody ever felt that way? I know I have. Will anybody notice me? You know, this conference, I've sat there in perfect peace. I don't care if nobody notices me. I want to get to know you. If I haven't met you, it's my loss. Because I want to get to know you. But I've not sat there anxious. I've not sat there wondering, will anybody notice me? I don't go running back to Dave's office. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I don't need to. There's not a need inside of me to do that. Because that is being killed inside of me. Because his presence inside of me is giving me everything that I will ever need. It's him. Isn't that what you want? I want the fulfillment of being anywhere on the face of God's green earth and not needing anyone else but him. Not needing anything. I want to go plant me wherever you want to plant me. And I will be content there because you're here with me. That doesn't come just because I'm born again. It comes because I am spending time in his presence with him. And I'm being changed. Go to Little John, 1 John chapter, I don't know, chapter 4. I want to look at this love a little bit more. 1 John chapter 4. Let's start reading verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. I mean, you can stop right there. That is everything. It's everything. He is love. He doesn't just have love. It's what he is. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18 is what I want to focus on. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear. I have one lady in the church that I love dearly. She's just a beautiful Christian person. She came to me during one of the times that I was delivering this message, or part of this message. She just began to break down and weep. You can tell the Holy Ghost was really on her strong. For years, she dealt with fear. This is the answer to you, for those of you who are in fear. If you are dealing with fear, I don't care what form it takes. Fear of lack, fear of losing the job, fear of sickness, disease. Maybe you've been attacked with something. I'm going to tell you something. When my wife, when I would look at her and she was sick in the bed and couldn't move, just laid there. Not for days, but for weeks. Do you think that fear tried to grab me and hold me? He wants to choke you off. And he'll use anything that he can to do it. I'm giving you a tool right here. I didn't like you. He's giving it to you. I'm just telling you about it. Private worship. Just get alone with him. Let him do that work inside of you that nothing else, nothing, there's nothing else that's going to do this for you. Nothing else is going to change you. Nothing else is going to cause these attributes to come forward in you and to develop, to walk in perfect peace. I regret that I laid this down. I regret that. But I'm so thankful for the message of praying in tongues that brought me back around to it. I'm so thankful for it. Folks, do you realize? Do you realize what we have in this message? I'm telling you what. And you know, God has finally shown me my place in this body is to hold up this message and the integrity of this message. If I spend the rest of my days right here holding up this message, I'll just thank God for it. I'll thank God for it. I know that He's going to send us different places, but I had an opportunity to very seldom do I have an opportunity like this, but my wife and I, we were sitting and talking to Pastor Dave, and I told him, I said, this is where we are to stay. This is it. You know, when you find your place, you know what your place is. There's nothing that compares to it. I know what my place is. My place is here, holding up this message, maintaining the integrity of this message. You know, we're not about elevating a person. We're not about that. We're about the growth, the maturing that this message will bring you. I'm just so thankful that God brought our lives across the path of the message so that we can change and develop and become the men of God that He wants us to be, to fulfill the call that He's placed on our life. But what I want to point to you is this. Private worship is a very important part of this message, and we are not going to lay it down. We're not laying it down. We're going to continue to walk in it. We're going to continue to grow in it, but we're not going to neglect it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go back to, we're going to go where the pages are new. Go back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, we're going to be looking at chapter 5. This is a little bit of new material here. He's going to let us venture off into some new land here. We're going to look in verse 1. We're going to start out there. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Talking about Solomon's temple. And Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated. I have to stop there for a minute. He just reminded me of something that he had told me. He wanted me to say this at the beginning and got involved going in a different direction. You don't have to turn here. I had an open vision yesterday during praise and worship. What I saw is described in the 133rd Psalm. I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. You can write it down, though. This is what the psalm says. He's looking at verse 1 and 2. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. This was the vision that I saw during praise and worship. I saw the image of a man, his face, his beard. And I saw the oil. His beard was saturated in the oil. And the Lord was showing me the unity that's here. The unity that's here. And the presence of God that's dwelling in that unity. Do you know how pleased He is with what's happening here? Do you have any idea? You can't go find this somewhere else. I think about when people, when they fall away from the message and they leave here, where do you go? Where do you go? I don't know. Where do you go? I mean, the pureness of what's here, and this might sound like a rabbit trail, but it's not. The pureness of this message, it does not elevate a person. We're giving you every tool that there is for you to grow. For you to grow and you develop. That you can walk in this anointing. Where can you find that? Generally, I want, you know, if you go into a lot of places, come and bow down at my feet. That's not the way it is here. So let's go back now. 2 Chronicles, verse 2. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, into Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. I have to tell you, I had to ask, did any of you recall in the book of Luke chapter 2, Bethlehem is identified as the city of David? Does that ring any bells at Christmas time? You remember hearing about that, Bethlehem, the city of David? So I asked him, why is there two city of Davids? There's not. It's like identifying the Big Apple or saying, I'm going to New York City. Simple as that. So we're talking about the same location. So look what happens. The Ark of the Covenant is brought out of the city of David. And they're bringing it into the freshly constructed temple of Solomon. There's some symbolism here that's really important for us, because I'm going to bring this back around to private worship. I'm going to bring this back around and show you what is taking place when you're worshiping, and what we can expect from that worship. So we're going to bring the ark. If you look at verse 10, it says, there was nothing in the ark save the two tablets which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Well, I did a message back in the springtime, or the winter, I can't remember. And it was about the Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod's not in there. What else isn't in there? The golden cup of manna. The manna's not in there. The only thing that's in there is what? The tablets. So what's this symbolizing? We're going to bring the ark, which is symbolism of the presence of God. It's going to come into what? An empty building, void of life. Void of life. There's nothing. It's an empty building. We're going to bring in the presence of God. But the things are missing. The rod of Aaron, cup of manna. When did the manna stop? Just before they entered the promised land. There was no more need of manna. What did the rod symbolize? The rod that was lifeless blossomed into life. It's the new birth. They're bringing in God's presence. And they're saying, this is the new birth. This is from the city of David, which is where Christ Jesus was born. We're going to bring him from the city of David into the temple. The new birth, Jesus, God's presence. And look what happens when this takes place. Go down to verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Now, if you'll remember the vision that Pastor Dave had of the rock as it went into the water, and the ripples spread out all across the pond. What was that? What was the Holy Ghost symbolizing to him? He was showing him that it would begin in your spirit with his presence, and then it would filter out into your soul and into your body and then into your all of the surroundings around you as he would spend time alone in private worship. He was being baptized into his presence. That's what this is showing you when you're born again. As the glory filled Solomon's temple, you are going to be filled as you raise your hands in worship to him. He's filling it. You are that priest now. You're the priest now. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, verse 1, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, we talked about that before, as newborn babes, we're talking about the symbolism of the new birth, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Now, what when you think about a stone, what do they make those temples out of anyway? Did you ever think about that? Aren't they stones? But if you were, I was going to bring a stone in here, but I couldn't lift it up. But you look at a stone, it's dead, it's lifeless. There's nothing there that resembles life. But he is that living stone. And if you go in the Greek and you look up that word, it's the same word in Ephesians that they talk about the quickening that happens. It's the life of God inside. So let's look at that again. You also, let's go back. To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up what? What? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Those hours that you're spending offering up the worship, it's the spiritual sacrifices. Think about the symbolism here. The temple, when they offered up all of those heifers and all of those offerings. And if you look, it says that those things in Hebrews, it says that didn't do it. That wasn't enough. There wasn't enough there that would satisfy the cost of sin. But there was one lamb that was laid, and he was the one that paid that price for us. And that one has offered up his blood in the heavenly holy of holies. So I can come in now as a priest, and I can make my offering. And what is my offering? What do I bring in? I bring in the words of my mouth. Turn to Hosea. I want you to see this. I want you to see this in Hosea. It's really only two words. And it's again back where the pages are going to be stuck together a little bit. Sorry about that. Chapter 14. It's going to make sense here in just a second. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Did you get it? Did you see it? Did you see the calves of our lips? I worship you, Jesus. I'm already washed in the blood. I don't have to offer up any more calves at any altar. I'm covered in his blood. I'm immersed in it. I can go before him now as a priest and worship and offer and give to him what he wants. I worship you. This makes me a true worshiper. The worshipers that brought in the calves that would only just cover the sin, that wasn't the worship he wanted. This is the worship that he wants, and it's through you every day, daily. Did you see? Daily they gave the sacrifices in Hebrews chapter 10. Daily the priest would come in and make the offering. Daily, not just 15 minutes on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Every day I can go and I can worship him. I can worship him. I can worship him. Get up on your feet right now. Jump up. Jump up. Jump up. Let's worship him. Laura, go over to the... Let's go. Let's do this. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 How wonderful you are, Lord. How wonderful you are, Lord. Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 You're so wonderful, Lord. You are so wonderful. You are so wonderful. We exalt you. We glorify your name. We love you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You are so wonderful, Jesus. Father, we love you. Father, we worship you. We exalt you, Father. We glorify you. We magnify your name. Father, we love you. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Father. We worship you. You inhabit our praise. You are inhabiting this praise right now. You're here. You're here. We love you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Father. We exalt you. We exalt you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Father, we love you. Father, we exalt you. We exalt you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We exalt you. You're so wonderful. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We love you. We love you. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This is what the Holy Ghost is saying. There are some of you that have tried to break into worship and you fought and you tried And it just felt like it was too much. Come up here right now. The grace is here. Or maybe you have never done this and you see that this is what you've missed. This is what you're hungry for. The grace is here. I'm going to tell you something. This time for me of breaking into private worship has been phenomenal. It has been, there's been a grace here for it, for me to walk in. And I believe that today when you leave here, you're going to leave here with this grace. My wife was telling me about a lady that was listening to me preach this message in her car. And she said that at that moment, she said, "Lord, I'm not there, but I want that grace." And she received it right there, right there. There was another lady out east on Facebook. She transcribed almost the whole message that I preached and put it on Facebook. It's not me. That's God. God wants this to be spoken. God wants this to be ministered. He wants you to grab hold of this. And whenever you get back home again, and when you find you, because next Monday, you know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be back in that bedroom worshiping the Lord. And next Tuesday and next Wednesday, because I want to be there. And when you get home and it's dry and you're discouraged and you live 5,000 miles from the prayer center, I want you to point and click this message and listen to it again, because the anointing is going to be there for you to receive the grace to continue. Do you hear me? It is. It is. It's because He wants this. He wants it. He seeketh such to worship Him. He seeketh such. He's looked throughout the generations and waited and waited for what you can offer Him. I said this one service. Tongues is so wonderful. It's so beautiful. And it's done so much for us. But when I go to heaven, I'm not going to pray in tongues. But what I will have in heaven, it's the relationship that I've developed with my Father on this earth. I'm going to take that step into heaven, and I'm going to look at Him and I'm going to say, "This is the relationship that I've always had with You." It's not like I'm going to be looking at a stranger. I'm going to be looking at somebody that I spent hours with. Hours and hours with. You're not going to go to heaven and look at a stranger. You're going to look at somebody that you have fellowshiped with, that you've spent time with. Do you understand that? She's going to sing this song. We did this in our regular service about 2 weeks ago. And the glory just, it just rolled in. We're going to do it now. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to raise your hands. As she sings this, sing along with her. Allow Him to engulf you in this. Make yourself vulnerable to Him. Make yourself vulnerable. I want everything that You have for me. I'm not afraid. I want everything that You have for me. You know, I lay hands on people, and you know, it's like laying hands on a stump. There's no receptivity. You've got to draw this. You got to want this. You got to be hungry for this. Like it's like you've walked across a desert. You've had no water, and you've come to that place where there is a drop. That's how thirsty you are. And you are taking in that drop right now. And it's going to flood you. It's going to flood you. Do you hear me? When you stand in that prayer line tomorrow, when Pastor Dave lays his hands on you, I want you to be that person drawing that anointing through Him, out of Him. I want to draw it out of your toenails. I want to have everything. Don't leave here without getting everything that is available here. Do you hear me? Be tenacious. Okay, Laura.